continuing in the themes that we've been speaking about the last couple of weeks, we've been trying to define very precisely the terms of bailus, who is considered to be an owner on something. Of course, ownership has many nafkaminas ladina, not just in terms of chayshim mishpat, but in terms of archaim, in terms of yiradeya, in terms of the rambos of mitzvahs. It's critical to pinpoint exactly whether a person is actually a bailam on something. So the previous year, we spoke a lot about the relationship of a masker and a socher, who exactly is considered to be the owner. We pointed out some nafkaminas in terms of ochas mezuzah, nafkaminas in terms of who's considered to be the owner of a house vis-a-vis avodah zarah, wrapping avodah zarah in the house. Now we move on to a related topic, which according to some rishonim may be synonymous, and according to other rishonim may be fundamentally different, but everyone agrees that it's somewhat related, and that is the notion of the kinyan lizman. So the halacha recognizes the concept of being machnes something to an individual as a kinyan lizman. Say I own a house, I own a field or something, and I say to you, listen, I'm going to sell this item to you, it belongs to you, it belongs to you for the next 50 years. At the end of 50 years, it's going to revert back to me. So that's a concept called the kinyan lizman. So how does the halacha view a kinyan lizman? During that zman, during those 50 years, who is the owner of the object? So comes the Rosh in Maseches Sukkah and tells us that a kinyan lizman is just a continuation of last week's sugya. Namely, just as we said, there's a concept of a schiros, I can rent you something, and I'm renting to you for X amount of time, at the end of the time, so it's going to come back to me. So the Rosh says, that's the same thing. Well, you're calling it a different twist, you're putting a different spin on it. You're calling it a kinyan lizman. Says the Rosh, a kinyan lizman is a schiros. That's what it means. If I charge rent for it, then it's a schiros. If I lend it to you without charging rent, then it's a, we'll call it a matan lizman, whatever you want to call it. But rose be any other name, it all smells the same. It's all the same thing. That the halacha recognizes the concept of a kinyan lizman because the halacha recognizes the concept of schiros. So therefore the Rosh says that whatever halacha's limit, bailus in terms of schiros or she'ela, are going to limit a kinyan lizman as well. And therefore the Rosh in Maseches Sukkah gives as the clearest example of this idea that a kinyan lizman is nothing more than just a glorified tzchiros. Says the Rosh, what would the din be as follows? Let's say I have a Luvan Esrog, and I give you the Luvan Esrog with the following stipulation. I'm selling it to you, or I'm giving to you lizman. It only belongs to you until the end of Sukkot. It only belongs to you until Hanukkah. And at that time, it's going to revert back to me, a kinyan lizman. So says the Rosh, you would not be able to be, I'd say, the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav with that. Why? Because that wouldn't be called lachem. Says the Rosh, just as we know, a lulav ha-shol is no good. I mean, that's a fair shemishnah. And if I borrow a lulav from you, I'm not yotze. Well, for that matter, even if I rent a lulav from you, I lease out a lulav for you for the next week. So that's also not acceptable because it's not called lachem. Lachem is defined by somebody who has the full-fledged bailus. Schiris lo kanya, that's not considered to be a kinyan, it's not considered to be mine. So says the Rosh, what's the difference whether we formulate it by using the magic word schiris, or whether we use a loaded chashimishpa term, a kinyan lizman, it all means the same thing. A kinyan lizman is not considered to be yours. In order to be lachem, it has to be a kinyan lachalut, it has to be a kinyan forever and ever and ever. This is the shit, the Rosh, in the third bracha Maseches Sukkah. Then the Rosh turns around and asks himself, if my theory is correct, that a kinyan lizman is not considered to be bailam, does not suffice to be called lachem. So how do we understand the famous Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Kedushin, the Gemara in the third Bein of Sukkah, called Matana Manas Tahachzir? The Gemara says explicitly that if I have a lulav on Sukkot and you don't have one, so I want to give it to you. On the one hand, I don't want to give it to you as a complete gift. If I give it to you as a gift, you may not give it back to me. I want it for the rest of the week. On the other hand, a lulav ha-shol is not acceptable. You wouldn't be yotzei. So how can we possibly have a cake and eat it? How can we possibly give you the lulav, but be certain that I'm going to receive the lulav back? So the Gemara says what you have to do is a matana amanas tahachzir. You give the gift to the person, and you make a stipulation that he's going to return it. And you make it tanai, built into the gift itself, into the sale itself, on the condition that he returns it. So we know the halacha is, anytime I do a kinyan ala tanai, if the tanai is fulfilled, if the condition is fulfilled, then the kinyan is valid. If the tanai is not fulfilled, then the kinyan is invalid. That halacha is learnt out from the Pashas Matos, from Mishpatei Atanoim, where the Torah describes that Moshe Rabbeinu entered into a deal, in effect, on behalf of Klal Yisrael with the Shevet Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, and he said to them, I'm going to give you the east bank, the east side of the Yarden, ala tanai. The condition is that you're going to come and fight on the west bank. And if you don't come and fight, so then we're going to take away what we just gave you. So the Torah says explicitly that Moshe Rabbeinu entered into agreement. He represented Klal Yisrael. It was a buying zone. There was a conditional sale, conditional gift. In effect, it was made to the Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. The Gemara says in Masechet Kiddushin, we derive from Hiladoros that anytime you enter into a transaction, you can always enter into a transaction ala tanai. You can make a mechir ala tanai, a matan ala tanai, Kiddushin ala tanai, a gerushin ala tanai. You can do a lot of things ala tanai. There are a few things here and there that you can't do ala tanai for technical reasons, but by and large, most chalosim can in fact be done ala tanai. So comes the Gemara Kiddushin, Adav Avavavavaz, and at the end of Masechet Sukkim says that I can give you a matana, amanas lahachzir. What's the difference with the Tanai is? I'm giving you the land on the condition that it rains tomorrow. I'm giving you the land on the condition that you stand on your head. I'm giving you the land on the condition that you return me the land. I'm giving you the lulav on the condition that you return me the lulav. So if you return the lulav, Igloy Milsa, turns out that you fulfilled the Tanai, then you were the rightful owner of this lulav for that period of time. If you don't return the lulav, then you lose, because it turns out you never fulfilled the condition. If you never fulfilled the condition, it turns out the whole sale, the whole gift was null and void. If the gift was null and void, you had to lulav in the first place. It wasn't lachem. So it's definitely in your best interest to return to be the lulav. So the Gemara has this concept of a matana amanas lahachzir, and you can fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of lulav. It's called lachem, based on the principle of matana amanas lahachzir. So ask the Rashi himself, if I'm correct, that the only way it's called lachem, is if it belongs to you, the oilam vod, if it belongs to you forever and ever, so how does matana nas hachzer work? Isn't the matana nas hachzer just a glorified kinyan l'zman? So according to the Rush, it's connected dots. Schirus is no good. You can't be yotze luv and esrig with a luv that you're renting. So schirus is no good. A matana l'zman, a kinyan l'zman, is a glorified schirus. And a matana nas hachzer is a glorified matana l'zman. So says the Rush, that's a problem, because the Gemara is the favorish that you can't be yotze with matana nas hachzer. Comes the Rush with the famous Yisrael, and comes the Rush and says, no, it's not true. Says the Rush, we made a mistake when we compared a matana l'zman with a matana amanas l'hachzir. A matana l'zman means that I'm giving you this gift, and at the end of the time, so it automatically reverts back to me. I don't have to make a new kinyan. I don't have to reacquire it back. The original condition was only made. I'm selling you this item, or I'm giving you as a gift, until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. When Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, the gift is over. Even I'm in China, I'm nowhere around to make a new kinyan on the gift. It doesn't matter, I don't have to make another kinyan on the gift. The gift was only given until time X, once time X comes. So then the item reverts back by itself. That's not how matana amanas lahachzer works, says the Rosh. Matana amanas lahachzer means that there has to be a new kinyan when it's returned to me. Why? Says the Rosh, a matana amanas lahachzer is a kinyan la'olam. A machna to you 100%. It belongs to you forever and ever and ever and ever. Elohat. There's a halacha amanas lahachzer. You have to fulfill the tanai. The tanai happens to be that you're going to give me the object back. The fact that you have to return the object doesn't change the very essence of the matana. The matana is a kinyan la'olam. Conceptually, it's a kinyan la'olam. It's a kinyan la'olam on condition. I can make whatever condition I want. I can make a condition that you're going to stand on your head. I can make a condition that it's going to rain. I can make a condition that you're going to return with the object. The returning of the object doesn't detract from the fact that the kinyan is eternal. It's just that the condition happens to be a quirk. I'm a meshugana. Well, not such a meshugana in this case. I made a condition that works in my favor. I made a condition that you have to be remarked to me the item. But says the Rush, you have to be remarked. If you're not remarked to me the item, then the item does not come back to me. It's not like a kinyan l'zman. Kinyan l'zman was only till time X. Time X comes, then it's over. A kinyan amanas lahachzer is a kinyan the olam vod. It's just that the tanai is something which is separate and distinct, which is mechayev you to be remarked back to me. This idea of the Rush is reminiscent of a Gemara in the second paragraph of Ksubis, where the Gemara uses the phrase that Tanai Milsa Harisahi. When you enter into a deal with somebody, Ala Tanai, so the Tanai is external to the kinyan itself. The kinyan is Le'olam Vod. The kinyan is forever and ever and ever and ever. It's just that the Tanai has to be fulfilled. The Tanai will qualify if and when the kinyan is going to be effective. But the Tanai is something which is external. The Tanai doesn't define what the Etzem HaMaisa is all about. So, Moshe L'mad Avadoma. So, I remember when I was in Rabbi Willick's year, my first year in Hawaii, it was back over 30 years ago. So, he used to always give the following Moshe called Tanai Milsach Harisei. So, Tanai Milsach Harisei, he used to give a Moshe. It's like a person who's driving. So, you have one foot on the gas and one foot on the brakes. So, he said, the foot on the gas, in theory, the car's going. In theory, the car's going. He says, there's enough gas in the engine to get the car go flying full force ahead. Elohat. you happen to also have your foot on the brakes. So your foot on the brakes is preventing. Your foot on the brakes is something which is external. Your foot on the brakes is something which is preventing the car from going forward. The second the foot comes off the brake, so you don't have to press the gear. It's gone already. It's already full steam ahead. So the chalos is already there. The chalos is already going. The matana is already there. The other board. It's just that temporarily there's something that's blocking it from taking place. Once you get rid of that block, once you remove that brake, then the car goes forward. So I used to, whenever I give that mashal in shiur, so I always call that mashal the Hector mashal. So that's the Talmid of about the Hector mashal. My high, what the Hector mashal? So I called the Hector mashal because I learned how to drive from this fellow in Washington Heights. His name was Hector. He used to have a driving school next door to yeshiva. We're now like with the chop chop areas, you know, those another where McDubbins used to be, where the chops, you know, that area on 184th used to be Hector's driving school. In between, I think Chopsticks and McDubbins at one point. You want to date yourself back to the 1960s. So Hector used to always take you up 185th Street. That was another 185th Street hill. So you're sitting on the top of the 185th Street hill and Wadsworth. You're sitting by the light, so it's a big pachad there, because if you take your foot off the brakes, then you fall backwards. So the problem is that when the light turns green, if you don't hit the gears right away, so you start to fall behind. So he taught us the trick. When you're sitting on the top of a light, sitting on the top of a hill by a light, so you keep 1 foot on the gears and 1 foot on the brakes. So that way, and you don't take your foot off the brake until you're ready full forward ahead with the gears. So that was his tremendous. I don't know if he was the only one who taught us that chop, but he's the one who taught me that trick in driving. So when I heard Rabbi Willich Shtekotar about tonight, and I heard his Shtekotar about driving, I was like, oh, it's the same chokhmah. So it's a lavdu, but it's the same type of a chokhmah. So the boys in yeshiva know that's called the Hekta Marshal. I don't know about Hector now, but he has like some schus somewhere. And I don't know if he's Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, but somehow it's a social service for Kever whenever whenever that mashal is mentioned. Anyway, getting back to the story. So the Rosh develops this idea that matanam las tahachzer is fundamentally different than a matanam las man, and chaps and afkamin in terms of vichus lachem, in terms of vichus luv yasrik, that in order for a lulav to be acceptable, it has to be lachem. A kinyan l'zman is not called lachem, but a kinyan of a manas l'hachzir is called lachem, because it really is a kinyan li'olam, with just a tenai chazara. How did the Rosh know that he's right? How did he know that this razzle-dazzle shtekotar is correct, that a matana manas l'hachzir, is acceptable for dalad minim, like the Gemara says, because it requires a kinyan in return, whereas the kinyan lizman, which doesn't require a kinyan in return, would not be acceptable. So the Rosh said he got it from a Gemara. We just referred to this Gemara last night in the Shiur to Michal Meirev. The Gemara speaks about a Maseches Sukkah, about the possibility or the impossibility of giving a Luv and Esrog to a child. If you give a Luv and Esrog to a child under the age of Bar Mitzvah on the first day, you're going to create a problem for yourself. Let's say I didn't shake a Luv yet, and I wake up in the morning, my kid wants to shake a Luv, so I give my 8-year-old a Luv. So presumably I'm giving it to him as a matana, because I want it to be lechem for purposes of chinuch, so I give it to him as a matana. And now the problem is, how in the world is he going to give it back to me? Because the katan has the ability to acquire things, but he doesn't have the ability to be machna something back. So the Gemara says, you just set yourself up in a big pickle. If you give the luv to the kid, so now he owns it, and now he can't do anything about it, he can't be machna back to you, so you have a big problem. So again, we're not learning all the whole sugya of the luv and esrog right now about why that should be a problem. Shouldn't be a problem first day, second day, chutzla, tzeretzrol. But suffice to say, the Gemara has this potential problem of, if I give it to him, I can't get it back from him. So the Rosh asks the question, what do you mean? Why can't I do it in the following way? Why don't I just give him a kinyan lizman? Why don't I just give it to him and say, I'm only giving you this luv and esrog until 9 o'clock in the morning. It's 8:15 now. Shachar starts at 8:30. So I give it to him at 8:15. I say, I'm giving it to you for the next 45 minutes. By the time comes time for me to shake luv and esrog, the bialis has already reverted back to me. I, a katan, can't be mocked as something back, but he doesn't have to be mocked it back. It happens by itself. So why doesn't the Gemara say that? Why is it when Dreyas a cup, it's impossible to give a luv and esrog to a child? Why can't I simply do it based on matana lizman? It comes in Rosh, says, because matana lizman isn't going to work. Because the whole point, why am I giving to him as a gift in the first place? Why don't I just lend it to him? So presumably I want it to be lachem for him also. The machlekes have shown him for the purposes of chinuch, doesn't have to be lachem. So the Mordechai writes that for the purposes of chinuch, doesn't have to be lachem. So it looks like a lulav, an esrog. You're just training him anyway. Who cares what's lachem? And other Rishonim say, no, the Ritva says it's got to be lachem. If you want to, you have to train your kids to do the mitzvah properly. So you have to create a situation where it's lachem. The only problem is creating it lechem for him is gonna impact on you. So comes the rush and says, why don't you have your cake and eat it? Why don't you do both? Why don't you give it to him as a kid in Lisman? And that will alleviate the problem of lechem, and it will also not create a scenario where he can't give it back to you because it happens by itself. So the Rush says the answer is it's not going to work because the whole point is to get it to be lechem. When you give somebody a kin lezman, it's nishken lechem. That's not lechem. So the Rush says that's the reason why the Gemara doesn't give that as an eitza. So why doesn't the Gemara give an eitza of a matanam and asla hachzir? So says the Rush because the area has to be machted back to you, and the katan can't be machted back to you. So you're back to square one. So the Rush says it's dafke that Gemara that doesn't give these options. It is highlighting the fact that these options are not acceptable. And the reason why kinyan lizman is not acceptable is dafka because it's not acceptable for the purposes of lechem. So this is the Rush's whole theory about the relationship between schirus, kinyan lizman, and matanas lahachzir. That basically, these three different transactions, the Rush understood that a schirus and a kinyan lizman are fundamentally the same thing. There's no real difference. And therefore, neither of them is acceptable for the purpose of being lachem. The only thing that's acceptable is a kinyan le'olam. It happens to be that mataraf tahachzir is considered to be the lach equivalent of a kinyan le'olam. So you have three different transactions on the board that look very similar. They're all, to some degree, temporary. There's a schirus, there's a kinyan lezman, and then there's a mataraf tahachzir. So says the Rush, they're not the same. Schirus is in the same category as a kinyan lezman. Neither of them are acceptable for lachem. The only thing that's lachem is a mataraf tahachzir. I mean, every schirus is amanas lahachzir. By definition, the schirus is amanas lahachzir. But it's still no good, because once you call it schirus, it's automatically no good. It's automatically not a kid in a good. So comes the Ketzos, and he quotes his Rush, and he says he's not so convinced that the Rush is right. The Ketzos says it would appear to him that ironclad equation that the Rush is working with, that schirus is the same as a kid in lezman, he doesn't think it's right. Says the Ketzos, if he wouldn't have had the Rush, he would have thought the following Hagdara, the following definition. It says, a schirus is not called lachem for a different reason. Based on what we spoke about in the past, a schirus is not even a kinyan haguf. A schirus is closer to a kinyan peiros. Remember, we spoke about this 2 weeks ago, about you have an institution Allah called this kinyan peiros, in contrast to a kinyan haguf. If I sell you land, but I say, I'm not giving you the land, I'm only selling you the land vis-a-vis the rights to eat the fruit of the land, that's called the kinyan peiros. And remember, we passed in kinyan peiros is lavka kinyan haguf. Remember, we spoke about bikurim 2 weeks ago, that if I enter into a business deal with you, that I'm giving you the rights to the fruit of my land, so you, when you come and bring bikurim with those fruit, you don't say Arami Ovidavi, you don't say the Parsha bikurim, because you can't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vashah, Adama Shadasata Li, because you don't own it. You own the rights to the fruit, but you don't own the land itself. So comes the Ketzos and says, the Schirus is a glorified Kenyan Peiros. It just means I'm giving you this Chos HaBeiros, I'm giving you the rights to use the fruit. So what does fruit mean? Fruit doesn't only mean the apples that grow on the tree. Fruit means the ability to drive the car. That's the schirus. Fruit of a house means the ability to live in the house. So fruit means the tashbish, the schus tashbish, that's considered to be the fruit of the item. But in terms of being machted, you the gufa dover, so a socher doesn't own the gufa dover, and similarly, just as a kiddin peiros doesn't own the gufa dover. But says the Ketzos, that's not what a kiddin lizman is. A kiddin lizman is a kiddin haguf. I'm selling you the land. Hakol mikol kol. For a week. I'm selling you the car for a week. That's different conceptually. Now, lemaisa, it's not going to be that much of a difference. You're going to be somewhat limited in what you can do. Because at the end of the week, you can't just bulldoze the house. Because at the end of the week, you got to return the house back to me. So you're going to have certain limitations what you can do. But conceptually, in Dini Mamadis, it's not the same. A schirus means that you have no connection to the guf at all. The guf is not yours. You only have a right to use it vis-a-vis the payers, vis-a-vis the chus hishtamshus. But when it comes to a kinyan haguf lezman, a kinyan haguf lezman is a different chalashem. A kinyan haguf lezman means you own the guf for the next week. So it comes to Ketzos and says, when it says in the Chumash, ukachtam lachem, that the lulav has to be lachem, there are dinim in the Torah that something has to be lachem, it doesn't say ukachtam lachem shalachem li'olam. It doesn't say it has to belong to you forever and ever and ever. All that lacha dictates is that it has to belong to you for the period that you're doing the mitzvah. So it has to be my talis at the time that I'm putting the tzitzis on. It has to be my bias at the time that I own that the Avodah Zarah is inside. It has to be my lulav at the time that I'm shaking lulav. All the dinim in the Torah that revolve around bailus do not revolve around bailus forever and ever. Not an eternal bailus. You need bailus right here and now. Vashehu sham. If right now, according to Cheshire Mishpat, who is the bailiff on the item? So the answer is, right now the title's in my name. That's not a seicher. A seicher, when I lease a car, doesn't say Soplovsky on the title. It says the name of the bank, whoever owns the car. It says Toyota on the title. They own it, and they're giving me this chusr shtamshus on the car. I don't even have a kinyan aguf lezman on it. But when I have a kinyan aguf lezman, that's a different story. Kinyan aguf lezman is not a lease, not a 99-year lease. It's a kinyan aguf. That's exactly what it sounds like. It's a kinyan aguf lezman. It's conceptually halachically different. Therefore, the Ktzai says it would appear to him that would be sufficient in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the Alamidim. And says the Ktzai, that's all Matanos Achzer is. That's exactly what Matanos Achzer is. The Rosh had to come up with this razzle-dazzle definition that a Matana Amanas Achzer is radically different than a kinless man, because a kinless man is just a schirus, and you wouldn't be Yaitzei Lechem with it, and therefore Matar Mazachzir must be a kin in the Oilam with his Chazara. Says the Ktzais, Lulei Divi Arash, he never would have said such a thing. Lulei Divi Arash, he would have said that a Matar Mazachzir is just a plain old kin in Lizman, and a kin in Lizman is Tacha good, and it is called Lechem, and it's not the same as a Schirus. So again, everybody agrees there were three categories on the table. We have Schirus, there's a kin in Lizman, and there's Matar Mazachzir. Everyone agrees that Schirus is no good for Dal Aminim, and everyone agrees that Mataram Zachzir is good for Dal Aminim. The Machlokes is the Rosh, the Ktzai says, what about the middle category? Is the middle category of the Kinyan Lizman closer to a glorified Schirus, which is what the Rosh suggested, or is the Kinyan Lizman basically a Kinyan Aguf, and it's closer to a Mataram Zachzir, which is like the Ktzai suggested? But the Ktzai says, notwithstanding the fact that somehow in his heart of hearts he feels that the Rosh is not correct, he still finds it very hard to disagree with a Rishon. As great as the Ktzais was, he's afraid to take the Rosh on head on. So the Ktzais writes that he suspected, he thought, there's got to be somebody who disagrees with the Rosh. There's got to be someone. So he said, be nice to be smart. I searched, I thought to look around to see, can I find a Rishon who disagrees? And this is before search engines, so he had to do the hard way. So he's looking, he writes, he passed him by Rishonim, someone's got to disagree with the Rosh. And he found, Baruch Hashem, he found it in a funny place. He found it in a Tshuvas HaRosh. He finds a Tshuvas HaRosh where the Rosh quotes someone who disagreed with him. So he says that the Rosh appears in Maseches Sukkah, but there's a Tshuvas HaRosh where he quotes from one of the Rishon Rabbeinu Avigdor, Rabbeinu Avigdor Katz. The only thing we know about him was that he was a Kohen. He says he was a Rabbeinu Avigdor Kohen Tzedek. Rishon quote him occasionally. Rabbeinu Avigdor Kohen Tzedek had a correspondence with the Rosh. And this Rabbeinu Avigdor says exactly what the Ktzais thought somebody should say. Mamash verbatim. Because Mamash Bechavein, Chacham Adav Minavi, that is Bar Plukta of the Rosh. So Rabbeinu Avigdor himself says the Hagdor of the Rosh is not correct. Rabbeinu Avigdor says that the reason why Yeitze Dalad Midim and the Matamnas Tahachzer is because you don't need a Kinyan Le'olam as long as you have a Kinyan Aguf. And talk to Rabbeinu Avigdor, Kinyan Lizman is not the same as a Schirus. Schirus is a Schus Ishtamshus in the Peiris. It's not a Kinyan Aguf. As long as you have a kinyan aguf, that's all you need. So according to Rabbeinu Avigdor, so why didn't the Gemara give the Eitzah in Masechah Sukkah to make the kinyan as a kinyan lezman? It would have been such an easy Eitzah. Yeah, the Gemara couldn't. The Gemara didn't tell you can't do that. The Gemara just said, the Gemara never says what to do. The Gemara just says, on the first day of Sukkot, don't give the lulav as a matana to your child, because if you didn't shake lulav, you're going to have a problem getting it back. The Gemara didn't say that that's a disaster and there's no solution. The Gemara just said what not to do. What should you do? I ain't Ktzais. I ain't Rosh. I ain't Rebbe. Figure out what to do. So the Rosh understood the Gemara is closing the door on you and saying there's nothing you can do. Vavalot made by your kid in his own Luv and Esrik. Otherwise, you have no Eitzah. So the Rebbeinu Avigdor says, well, there's no Eitzah. The Gemara never said there's no Eitzah. The Gemara just said what not to do. You want to do it a kid in his mind. Here's the day. Do a kid in his mind. Kid in his mind will be very simple. You give a kid in his mind to the child, and he'll be Yaitzeh to Dal and meet him at that time. And when this man ends, you shouldn't make a kid in his mind for a week. Make a kid in his mind until 9 o'clock. When 9 o'clock comes, it will revert back to you. And then you don't need a new Maisa Kinyan, because it was only a Kinyan Lizman anyway. And Shon, Shalom Yisrael. He'll have his Luluf till 9 o'clock. You'll have your Luluf after 9 o'clock. And Shon, everything is Givaldi. So, Lamaisa, we have a major Machlekes now, the Rosh and Rabbeinu Avigdor, and Rabbeinu Avigdor plus the Ktzais, to how to understand these basic concepts in Halacha of Eschirus, a Kinyan Lizman, Matanos Mahachzer. How do these Halachas play out? What the relationship between these different types of quasi ownership are all about? This question, the Rishonim, about where to place these three categories may impact on another area of halacha, also related to bailus here, specifically related to transferring of bailus. It's a little bit of a minyan of the yom from Shavuos. It relates to a kinyan chalipin. A kinyan chalipin has its roots in, of course, in Megillas Rus. So there is a Tosfos in a few places in Shas, and the Metzia and Erech and Tosfos suggests the following idea. Tosfos says, what's the din if I want to rent out an item to you? So the Gemara says that the same way that I sell items to you, those are the Maisei Kinyonim that I use for Schirus. So let's say if I want to rent you an apartment, I want to rent you a piece of land. So what Kinyon do we make that makes the deal finalized? If I rent it to you, I don't make a Kinyon, so the next week I'll back out, you'll back out. So what makes the deal finalized? So Gemara says, "Kishem shekarka niknes bekesav shtav chazoka, kach schiris karka niknes bekesav shtav chazoka." The same way that if I want to sell you a piece of land, so there are one of three mechanisms that can be done. I can either get money from you, or I can write a document for you, or we can make kinyan chazoka. That means you work and you improve the land. You dig a hole, you put up a fence, you do something to improve the quality of the land. Kinyan kesav shtav chazoka. So too, if I want to rent you land, I want to rent you an apartment, so we have to enter an agreement. We have to make a kinyan as well. So clearly, the halacha requires a kinyan be made, a maisa kinyan be made, in order for the schiris to be binding, that now neither party has the right to back out. So Tosfos raises the question, what about a kinyan chalipin? Can you make a kinyan chalipin to affect the schiris? So should we continue that model and say, the same way you can buy land with kesef, you can rent land with kesef, so who are they now? The same way you can buy land with chalipin, as the state in Megillas Rus, there's also for Nimbi Yisrael, Agulav Al Tamur, so the same way you can buy land with chalipin, you should be able to rent land with chalipin as well. So if you would have asked me, I would have said that equation continues. What's the difference? So Taka Sami Shem say it, maybe Shem say Yenochanam, Taka works. So comes Tyson and says, no, it doesn't work. And there's some deep dark secret, we'll get to either today or next week, Tosfos comes up with some deep dark secret that it doesn't work. Tosfos says that the only way you could possibly affect a rental of land is that you have to make a kinyan kesef, or a kinyan shtar, a kinyan chazoka, the three kinyan that the Gemara singles out. But a kinyan chalipin doesn't work. Says Tosfos, a kinyan chalipin only works on permanent kinyanim, it doesn't work on temporary kinyanim. Adkan, are you saying from Tosfos? We're not sure why exactly that's true, but that's what Tosfos says. That you can't make a kinyan chalipin on something which is only temporary. So what's considered to be temporary? So if you look into Rishonim, then the Rishonim have a further discussion. Tosfos in different places says different things. So what's considered to be temporary? So Tosfos says, a she'ela, let's say I want to lend you land. I want to create a situation where I lend you land in such a way that I can't back out. We want to create a relationship with a shoel and a mashiel. So I have to make a kinyan. So Tosfos, a kinyan chalipin won't work. If I want to rent your land in such a way that neither of us can back out, a kinyan chalipin is not going to work. Those are all examples of something which is only temporary. What if I want to make a kinyan of amanas lahachzir? What if I want to enter into the highest level, we said before, of a kinyan amanas lahachzir, and I want to make it binding with a kinyan chalipin? What's the din? Can a kinyan chalipin work on a kinyan amanas lahachzir? So Taiz in one place says yeah, and Taiz in another place says no. What's the issue? What should that child depend upon? So clearly that child depends on this rush, this Rabbeinu Avigdor. What is a kinyan amanas lahachzir? So according to the rush, a kinyan amanas lahachzir is a kinyan li'olam. It's like any other kinyan li'olam vod. It's good enough for lulav, it's called lachem, l'chol dini ha'torah. And amanas lahachzir by definition is not a kinyan lizman. Says the rush, proof positive it's not a kinyan lizman. If it was a kinyan lizman, then it wouldn't be called lachem for dal aminim. So the Rosh says that kinyan amanas lahachzir is a plain kinyan with a tanai chazara. It's gas with brakes, it's Hector, but it's not a kinyan lizman. If it's a kinyan li'olam, so why can't chalipin work on it? So even according to Tosfos, tremendous chiddush, that chalipin is limited, it can't work on something which is temporary, but even Tosfos will have to say the buck stops here, that amanas lahachzir, according to the Rosh's understanding, is not a kinyan lizman. By definition, it's a kinyan li'olam. But if you go along the lines of Rabbeinu Avigdor and the Ketzos, that a matan amanas lahachzir is the same fundamentally as a kinyan lizman. And if matan amanas lahachzir is called lachem, then a kinyan lizman is also called lachem. It's really the same thing. So if Tosfos said that something which is temporary cannot be nitfas for a kinyan chalipin for some deep dark secret, so then a kinyan chalipin won't be chal, won't be effective on a kinyan matan amanas lahachzir. So again, we're working with Tosfos' assumption. We're working with the assumption that for some reason, which we don't know yet why, a kinyan lizman is not nitan to a kinyan chalipin. Kinyan chalipin only works on permanent kinyanim, not on temporary kinyanim. So where do you draw the line? What's called permanent? What's called temporary? So according to the Rosh, a matan amanas lahachzir is permanent. It's not temporary. and therefore Chalipin should work on it. According to Rabbeinu Avigdor and the Ktzos, no, Matarim HaSahachzer is based on the Kidin L'Zman. It really does work. It works for Luvin Esrei, because the Kidin L'Zman also works for Luvin Esrei, but it's still temporary, and it's a temporary Kidin. For whatever reason, Kidin Chalipin isn't going to work. So this Machlek is the Rosh, Rabbeinu Avigdor and the Ktzos, is not going to spill over in terms of the effectiveness, or lack thereof, of a Kidin Chalipin vis-a-vis Matarim HaSahachzer. But going back to the Taiz itself, Taiz has this tremendous chiddush, which we really don't understand. Why is this so? Why is it that a Kidin Chalipin somehow is limited? I mean, I read Megillas Rus, it says, Zos the fun in the Yisrael, Ge'ula v'yatrum, l'kayim called over, everything is great, it's the most effective Kinyan. It works for Karka, Metalpulin, for Ge'ula, Sadas, it works. All of a sudden it falls short. All of a sudden it can't work for Schir, it's very, very strange. Not only is it strange conceptually why Chalipin shouldn't be an effective kinyan for Schiris, for She'ela, for temporary kinyanim, there seem to be indications that that's not the case. There seem to be contradictions to this principle of Taisus. So one of the contradictions that that the Taisus and the later Achmanim raise is based on the Gemara Maseches Kedushin and Dav Ches. The Gemara learns out from a posuk that if you want to buy an Eved Ivri, so you cannot buy an Eved Ivri with Kinyan Chalipin. A special pasuk has it. Nasav lo Chalipin, hold Rasha and Kedushin Dav Ches, that if you want to create a relationship of an Eved Ivri, you want to buy an Eved Ivri, guy's poor, wants to sell you as an Eved Ivri, so you have to make a Kinyan on him. To make a Kinyan, then he doesn't become bound as an Eved. So you want to make a Kinyan on him. What kind of a Kinyan can you use? Kesef is an acceptable Kinyan. But the Gemara Drasha Sukim, that Chalipin is not an acceptable Kinyan. So comes a Ketzais and asks on Taisus, wait a second. He says, if you're going to tell me that there's a principle, a guiding principle in Chayshim Mishpat, that Chalipin only works on permanent Kinyanim, doesn't work on temporary Kinyanim, Ein lecha temporary goldum Eved Ivri. And Eved Ivri is a Kinyan L'zman, and Eved Ivri is only there for 6 years. He's leaving after 6 years. Worst case scenario, he'll get Ritzias Oz and he'll stay for Tel Yoifa, but he's not there forever and ever and ever. I mean, Papa Dolby Allah, but he's not literally there forever. So in here, he may not even be a Nirza, he's coming Sheshanu Yavai. How can you call an Eved Ivri anything more than a 6 year, than a temporary Kinyan? So comes the Ktzos and he asks if Tzos is right that a Kinyan Lizman is not Shaykh the Chalipin. What does the Gemara need Xeris HaKosav? You have to bend over backwards, a quirk, Xeris HaKosav, a Chiddush HaTorah. You can't buy an Eved Ivri with a Kinyan Chalipin. Typically, of course you can't use a Kinyan Chalipin. It's obvious you can't use a Kinyan Chalipin for an Eved Ivri, because Ein Lecha Kinyan L'Zman, Gadol Mizeh. So the Ktzos turns the Kasha in an act of sheer brilliance, and he turns the Kasha into a Teretz. He says, no. Says the Ktzos, you know, we had a Kasha. Where did Taisus get this idea from that you can't make a Kinyan Chalipin on a Kinyan L'Zman? Doesn't make any sense. Why not? What's the problem? And then we had Kasha number two is, you see from Eved Ivri Taisus is wrong. Zoktik Tais, two Kashas make up a Teretz. Namely, the Mokor that you can't make a Kinyan Chalipin on a Kinyan L'Zman is learned off from Eved Ivri. It's not that Eved Ivri is the Yaitzim in a Klal. Eved Ivri is the source for the Din. And from the fact that the Torah says that you can't make a Kinyan Chalipin on Eved Ivri, so we have to now rationalize. We have to think, hey, wait a second. Why is it conceptually that you can't make a Kinyan Chalipin on Eved Ivri? What's wrong with Eved Ivri? Lamalo. Why is Eved Ivri different than a Sodom at Taflin? The answer is because it's temporary. Once we say that the reason why in Eved Ivri Kinyan Chalipin doesn't work on because it's temporary, then we can extrapolate back to temporary fields also, to temporary cars also, to temporary chalosim also. So Eved Ivri is not the kash, as Zochtik says. Eved Ivri is the suas. Eved Ivri is the mokor. But you can't turn around and ask a kasha, how come the Torah says, exeris akos of an Eved Ivri, tape a clay that it's a Kinyan L'Zman? The answer is no, that's the mokor, that's the suas. That's the ktsos of the shtickle Torah. So other achrayim say, no, that's not true. Other achrayim say that the fact that you can't make a Kinyan Chalipin or a Kinyan L'Zman is not exactly a kosa from Eved Ivri. There's a reason for it. I don't know yet what the reason is. There's a svar for it. So why do you need a pasuk from Eved Ivri? Isn't Eved Ivri a Kinyan L'Zman? So comes the Divya Cheskel, and we just quoted him the other night in Shavuos night. Comes the Divya Cheskel, he was Rosh Hashiva in Slabotka, Cheskel Barnstein, one of the Rosh Hashivas in Slabotka before the war. So Divya Cheskel says, no, he says, you misunderstood Eved Ivri. What does it mean, Sheikh Shalom Yavah? Exerts the cost of your own Eved Ivri for 6 years. So Zakhtar Divya Cheskel, when you buy an Eved Ivri, you're buying him L'Oilam Vod. Elawat. The Torah says, come 6 years, he goes free. The Torah is mafkia your kinyan. It's not pshat that's a kinyan l'zman. I'm only buying it for 6 years. I'm buying it la'olam vod, the olam vod. I'm making a kinyan on it. I buy a house, I buy a field, I buy a car. It's mine, the olam vod. There's a mitzvah satoira, the sheikh shalom yavoy. There's a mitzvah satoira that the Torah says at the end of the 6 years, the Torah takes it away from me. But it mamish belongs to me. It's a kinyan l'olam. If so, that's a divya chesma, it's a kinyan l'olam, then you can't bring any raya from Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is not the refutation of the yisod of Taisus. Eved Ivri is taka kinyan l'olam. Yanam. It's a kid in the Yanam with the Zchus HaTorah in order for the Eved to go free at the end of 6 years. So the Eved, every story may not be a kasha against the Taisa. So the Taisa still stands. So Taisa says in Erechet, Taisa says in Bamitzia, that whenever you want to make a kinyan, which is only a temporary kinyan, you can't use a kinyan chalipin. Kinyan chalipin only works for kinyanim that are forever and ever and ever. L'kayim koldova, yeah, the poskin rus is true. You can use it for karka and metal and everything with one condition. Says Taisa, it has to be a permanent kinyan. If it's a temporary kinyan, so kinyan chalipin doesn't work on temporary kinyanim. So even though we don't have any question from Eved Ivri, we're able to deflect the question in the Taisa's way, in the Vicheska's way, we're still not sure what the Svara is. We still don't understand Taisa's conceptually. Why is it that a kinyan chalipin is not effective for a temporary kinyan? So hopefully, Mr. Shem, the answer to that question will lead us into next week's shiur in terms of further understanding issues of bialas. That's going to open up our eyes, hopefully, to another limitation of bialas, a new category of bialas. So we spoke a lot about a bialas lasman and a bialas liyolam. Now we're going to get into a new dimension of bialas, which ultimately, hopefully, will give us a better understanding of shittas atosos. Mr. Shem, next week, we'll continue.